Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, here's the latest twist in the ongoing saga of Boston's Olympics bid. Alan Abrahamson is a longtime Olympics reporter. He's founder of 3WireSports.com and an instructor in sports journalism at the University of Southern California Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism. And recently, Abrahamson spoke to high-ranking members of the International Olympics Committee in Switzerland. And guess what they told him about the Boston bid?
Well, in a word, it's move. They are over it. They think that it would be a miracle, not on ice. It would be just a miracle for Boston to have any chance to win this thing. And so they want an American bid, and they want a competitive American bid, and they think that the only competitive American bid that's out there would be Los Angeles.
Wow, you quote one of the IOC members saying, basically, Boston has had its chance. They bleeped it up. I mean, what are the specific reasons that they are not expressing that much confidence in Boston?
Well, the IOC wants to feel welcomed. Just like when you come into somebody's house, you want to feel like, oh, here's the wine, here's the cheese, here are the canapes. Although maybe that's a bad example given the IOC, but people want to feel like they're welcomed when they come into somebody's house. And when the poll numbers, as they are in Boston, are in the 30s, that's just, in a word, abysmal. And the IOC just doesn't want to come to a place where they're not welcomed.
And how many IOC members did you speak to? I mean, do we have a sense as to whether or not this is the general feeling amongst the members, or just, you know, the couple that you were able to talk with?
So I've talked with many of them, but most importantly, I've talked with the thought leaders, if you will, many of the most influential of the IOC's members. And obviously, the members who are quoted in my story are all quoted anonymously, but I assure you that the members who are quoted there are the most influential members.
I see. Okay. Well, I mean, because they're saying things that are pretty stark, like Los Angeles is better than Boston, said one of the members to you. The USA has to change its image. And then also another one made an imaginary trigger with an index finger and a thumb and said, quote, the sooner the better, it has to be now. I mean, is the USOC hearing this? Is there any possibility that this could be enough to get the U.S. Olympic Committee's attention?
Well, there's no question that certain elements within the United States Olympic Committee know what's what. The question is whether the board of directors of the United States Olympic Committee will get the message. And so the tension that's going to play out next week at the board meeting in San Francisco is whether Larry Probst and Scott Blackmon, who are the chairman and chief executive officers of the USOC, are going to carry the weight and do what the people within the IOC think should have been done back in January.
Now, what's the attitude out there in Los Angeles? Does L.A. want the games? Are those poll numbers higher there?
Poll numbers out here are in the high 70s, and the only way you get higher numbers in a democracy is, you know, if you had bacon to golden retrievers. And I'm not saying this because I live here or because I'm rooting for Los Angeles. I want to be emphatically clear about this. I've been covering every IOC contest since 1999. But Los Angeles is, in many ways, America's Olympic city. Los Angeles had the games here in 1932 and 1984. There's a standing committee here at all times that's ready to put on the games. 10th Street in Los Angeles is named Olympic Boulevard. And this is just a place where the Olympics have a natural fit, that you could have the games here pretty much tomorrow.
Well, it's interesting because you wrote that the only thing predictable about an IOC election is its unpredictability. But nevertheless, I get the sense from your column, though, that that no matter who or what city the U.S. puts forward, its chances may not be that great. I mean, for a bunch of reasons. I mean, you referenced the Department of Justice's indictment against high-ranking members of FIFA as one of the reasons.
Yeah, for sure. The FIFA indictments are a variable in this election that no one yet knows how is going to play out. For sure, the FIFA indictments have done damage to American chances for 2024. At the same time, there's a confluence of factors within the International Olympic Committee that says now may, and I stress may, be the time for an American bid. The current IOC president, Thomas Bach, is very, very interested in having an American candidate, not just in the race, but perhaps to win. There's a gentleman named Sheikh Ahmad Al-Fahad Al-Sabah, who I'm sure very few of your listeners have ever heard of, who is immensely influential in the worlds of both the Olympics and FIFA, who is also very, very interested in seeing an American candidate do very well. a lot of variables just may be lining up behind the right American bid.
But on the other hand, you also write something which really opened my eyes, that an upcoming potential change in concealed carry gun laws in Texas might have an effect on any U.S. bid, even though there's no Texas city that seems to be interested in hosting the Olympics?
So for those of us who live in the United States, we understand that something in Texas might not be relevant or material to something in Boston or Los Angeles. But our friends overseas think of the United States as one big sort of, I don't know how to put this quite the right way, maybe homogeneous blob. And they don't maybe necessarily see the regional or cultural differences from place to place. They just see us as us. And when the governor of Texas signs a carry law, they're like, wow, does that mean if I send my kid to Boston, he or she is not safe? Or if I send my kid to Los Angeles, he or she is not safe because of a gun law in Texas? You know, these are hard things to explain.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's bring it back to Boston for just a second here, because as you referenced earlier, polling shows that support for an Olympics around these parts is roughly 39%. You write that the IOC wants the number up in the 70% region. And then, of course, there's been the ongoing controversies of Boston's original bid, which talked all about a walkable Olympics. But now we have a new plan of sailing being moved to New Bedford, volleyball in Quincy, other venues possibly being moved away from the Boston core. I guess I'm wondering, is there anything Boston 2024 or supporters of the Olympic Games here can do now to make the IOC more favorable to a Boston bid?
Well, I think that's a great question, but it presupposes a big if. The big if is they have to convince the United States Olympic Committee first that they deserve a second chance. And that is what the Boston 2024 people are asking. They're saying, we deserve a chance to make our case. And that's the big if right now. Do the Boston 2024 people deserve that second chance? And then I think the question is, look, is that fair to not just Los Angeles, but San Francisco or Washington, D.C., who were the other three finalists, but also the other three dozen cities who were part of the domestic process? And I think those are also reasonable, hard, and fair questions to everybody involved.
And you call it, the situation here, the Massachusetts Rocky Horror Political Picture Show.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Well, look, the Olympic values are all about friendship, excellence, and respect. In 30 years of journalism, I've pretty much heard about everything, but you have to have a tone of civility to this entire process.
Well, Alan Abrahamson is founder of Three Wire Sports. He's also a lecturer in sports writing at the University of Southern California. Alan, thanks so much for joining us.
My super pleasure. Thank you.